And most of all, this we'll talk about today, Bezos Hashem, tonight. Thank you to Hashem for the opportunity to. I'm here visiting my family. I'm from Silver Spring. I visit my family. I try to visit my family in the summer. And to have a chance to share a Torah when I'm here visiting family is a great schus. Okay. Bezos Hashem, tonight I want to discuss two topics that are related. The first one is based on ideas I've heard from Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal on his recordings. He has fabulous, fabulous recordings, along with something I heard from Yibadal L'Chaim, Rav Meir Tursky Shlita, that's Rav Salvechik's grandfather. That's one topic. And another topic, which I heard from the Rav of my shul, Rav Chaim Malinowitz. Shlita is my shul rabbi. A very powerful idea about Shabbos, and the two ideas are related. And we're going to sort of go directly through the outline here, and along the way read some things in the source sheets. Okay, so here we go. Many Makoros say that the direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. This was last week's Parsha, the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. When we left Mitzrayim, we became free. Freedom in Yahadus doesn't mean freedom to do whatever you want. Freedom in Yahadus means the freedom to serve Hashem. That's what it means to be free. You don't just wander around. You're free to serve Hashem. So the direct purpose of Matan Torah, the direct purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. That's clear. That's why there's a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. What do you mean you count? You count from Pesach to Shavuos. Why? To show they're connected. When we left Mitzrayim, it was the beginning of a process. That's what the many Mepharshim say. Oh, we're finally free after a couple hundred years. And what happens the next day? We count number one. The beginning. So the direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. That's clear. And the main source that proves that is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which connects Pesach to Shavuos. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. It's a very important Sefer HaChinuch. It's worthwhile to see. And it was this past week's parsha, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So that's the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the direct goal. Okay. That's a famous topic, which is not the main point for tonight. But there is an ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you read carefully, you learn carefully, it's clear that although the immediate direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah, the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was building the Beis HaMikdash. That was the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's clear. And there are many things. So for example, when you read Oz Yashir is we saying when we left Mitzrayim, Oz Yashir talks about the Beis HaMikdash. We say Zekeli Ve'anveyu. That's a famous pasuk in Oz Yashir. So one shot of Zekeli Ve'anveyu is to beautify the mitzvahs. Nava means to be beautiful, to beautify the mitzvahs. But if you look in the Targum Unculus, the word Nave means an abode, a building, a home. So the Targum Unculus says Zekeli Ve'anveyu is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So at Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we're leaving Mitzrayim, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. That's one explicit reference. According to some Mepharshim. The pasuk says, Mikdash Hashem Kanunu Yadecha. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash with our hands. That's the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. So that pasuk is in Oz Yashir. So you see in Oz Yashir, we're crossing the Yam Suf, and we're discussing the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's interesting. And a further point, and this is a very beautiful, subtle diuk, and Chiddush and Tanakh, this is Rav Tursky's diuk. When Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, so the Navi gives the year, and it says the date, and it says 480 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's very interesting. Normally in Nach, the dates are given the years of the king. 7 years of the king, 33 years of the king. It's very interesting, it's very striking that the Navi references Yetzias Mitzrayim by the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Tversky explained, it's to show that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is leading up to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's a third, and there are other sources, that's a third source, that the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, so let's understand that a little bit better. This idea that the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Beis HaMikdash comes out of So that's a fact. That's a fact. We just established that's a fact. And it becomes more clear and it becomes understood better based on the Ramban. Maybe when people come in, if they want the outlines. Excuse me. If you learn the Rambans, excuse me, in Shmos, then it becomes more clear. Here, also these are fine ones. It becomes more clear this idea that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was, excuse me, the Beis Hamikdash. Oh, so let's learn two very famous Rambans, very fundamental Rambans in Shmos. So the first is source number one. This is the Ramban's, excuse me, Hakdama to Parshas Truma. The Parshas Truma is where the Torah discusses the Mishkan. And the Aron's mentioned first. So the Ramban says that the Aron was the primary kli, the primary vessel of the base of the Mishkan. That's what he says. By the first Aron. I'm sorry, and why? Why is the Aron the primary kli of the Beis HaMikdash? Because, the Ramban says, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to be a home for the Shechina. The primary, this is the Ramban's Shita, the primary function of the Mishkan, and ultimately the Beis HaMikdash, is to be a home for the Shechina. Let's see the Ramban says it. The first arrow in source number one. Hinei ikir ha-chefetz hu ba-mishkan mako menuchas ha-shechina shu ha-aron. The main purpose that Hashem had in the Mishkan was to be a place for the Shechina to rest, and that was on the Aron. The second arrow in source number one. V'sod ha-mishkan hu she-yakavod asher shachan al har-sinai shochein alav b'nister. This is the Ramban's famous idea, that the Shechina, which was on har-sinai we saw the Shechina, whatever that means. All of Am Yisrael had nevuah to some degree. And we experienced the Shechina in a very public way. That experience Hashem wanted us to keep on having in a more muted, hidden way, and that's what the Mishkan was for. Hashem took the Shechina off Har Sinai, which was in a super public way, and he brought it into the Mishkan, and it was there in the Mishkan. And as Bnei Yisrael went through the Midbar, they had the Shechina with them. It's like a traveling Har Sinai. Bnei Yisrael had the Mishkan with them in all of, had the Shechina with them in the Mishkan. And since the purpose of the Mishkan was to be a home for the Shechina, that's why it makes sense that the Aron is the main kli of the Mishkan, because that's where the Shechina rested in the Aron. And the Ramban goes on to point out many, this is a beautiful Ramban, we're not doing the whole thing now, many similarities between how the Torah describes Har Sinai and how the Torah describes the Mishkan. Because since the Mishkan is supposed to be Hemshech of Har Sinai, so that's what the Ramban says. Good. So the Mishkan is a home for the Shechina. Oh. And now there's another Ramban. And with this other Ramban, it'll come to life why the ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the building of the Mishkan. And that's source number two. This is their famous Ramban, the Hakdama to Sefer Shmos. The Ramban gives you Hakdama to every Sefer of the Chumash, like what it's all about. So the Ramban says that Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Golus and Geula. That's what the Ramban sheet is. It's the Golus going down to Mitzrayim and the Geula, which we'll see, and the Geula of after Mitzrayim. We'll get to the details in a second. That's the Ramban sheet. And that's why the Ramban says the Torah is out of order. You know, in general, the Torah is not a history book. The Torah teaches us how to live our lives. There's also history in the Torah, but the Torah is not a history book. So it doesn't have to be in order. So Rashi, we know, there's a rule, Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah. The Torah is not always in order. Rashi uses that rule a lot. The Ramban really, really tries to avoid using that rule. The Ramban tries to keep the Chumash in order. There are several big, major machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, which revolve around this issue. Rashi puts the Chumash out of order. The Ramban says, no, not so fast, Rashi. In by Yisro and by Matan Torah, there are several famous examples where Rashi has the whole Chumash out of order, but the Ramban learns the Chumash differently, that the Chumash is in order. But it's striking here, the Ramban points out, the Chumash is out of order. We came down to Mitzrayim in Vayigash, back in Vayigash, and the Torah repeats the pasuk from Vayigash at the beginning of Shmos, that Yaakov and his sons went down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because Hashem wanted to make this book, this Sefer, a separate Sefer, Golus and Geula. What's the Golus? The Golus begins when they went down to Mitzrayim. So that's the Golus. We went down to Mitzrayim, we're in a weakened position. So what's the Geula? So the Ramban gives you his definition of Geula. Let's read the Ramban. It's source number two. It's the last of four lines, underlined source number two. Ukishabo al Har Sinai, V'yasu ha'an mishkan. They came and built the mishkan. V'shava kadosh baruch hu v'hishra shchinasu b'neihem. Oh, and Hashem put the shchina there. That's the Ramban l'shitaso. That the main purpose of the mishkan was the shchina. Oz shavu el mayel asavosam shayasod elo kale aholehem. The heim heim hamerkava, that's the key phrase, which we'll get to in a few minutes, Pastor Hashem. V'yoz nech shivu ge'ulim. That's ge'ul. The Ramban says ge'ulim means to get back to the original state we were in. Ge'ulim means to return to your original status, your original state. Galus is your original status is corrupted, is thrown off. Ge'ulim means to get back there. So, when we were living in Eretz Yisrael, when the Avos were living in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban says, the Shechina rested on their tents. Sod elo ka'alei ahaleim. The Shechina rested on their tents. And then he says, this is according to Medrash, the heim heim hamerkava means, and they, the Avos and the Imos together, were their merkava. Merkava means the chariot of the Shechina, kavayacha. When the Avos lived their lives in their tents, wherever they were living, they were like Hashem's chariot in the world, and the Shechina mamish rested on their homes. And as they went through their day, Hashem was right there. The Shechina was on their homes. So they were the chariot of Hashem, kavayacha, which is an amazing phrase to hear. So therefore, the Ramban says, when we built the Mishkan, and we had the Shechina in the Mishkan, we were returning to the original level which the Avos had, that the Shechina was with them all the time in Eretz Yisrael. And that's called Geula. And that's why the Ramban says, Chumash Shmos doesn't end with Matan Torah. Chumash Shmos ends with, the last pasuk in Shmos talks about, the Shechina being on the Mishkan. Because that's the Geula. The Golus was leaving Eretz Yisrael and being in a weakened position. The Geula is getting back to the level of the Avos, who had the Shechina with them in Eretz Yisrael when they were going through the normal on their tents. That's the Ramban. Oh. So based on this Ramban, I once heard a comment from Victor Miller's Atzal on his tapes. Actually, I heard it a few times, and it's in his books too. It's an amazing Ramban. What's the Ramban saying? The Ramban's saying that the Mishkan is supposed to be a replica of a Jewish home. The Avos, we're supposed to live our lives like the Avos as much as we can. The Avos are the ideal Jewish home. Avram's home with Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka. And the Mishkan, the amazing Mishkan with the Shechina, with the Avodah, with everything, is just second best. It's just a replication of what the Avos had originally, Heim Heim Emer Kavo. That's amazing. So this Ramban is saying explicitly that a Jewish home is supposed to be a place where the Shechina rests. That's what the Ramban is saying. It's amazing. Once you hear it, it jumps out at you. The Ramban is saying the whole point of the Mishkan is to have the Shechina. That's the first Ramban in Truma. That's the main point of the Mishkan. And why? Because that's Geula. Why is that Geula? Because that's Geula means returning to your original state. The original state was the Avos, the Shechina in their tents. So, and Rav Victor Miller always says this, every home is a Beis Hamikdash. It's even supposed to be even better than a Beis Hamikdash. A home is supposed to be a home for the Shechina 24/7. That's an amazing Ramban. When you read this Ramban, it's tremendously inspirational, and it's a big mechayev, it's an achrayas that we have, that a Jew is supposed to have the Shechina in his home. That's what a Jewish home is supposed to be. If someone says, what's the definition of a Jewish home? The answer is, the Ramban says, it's supposed to be a home, a place where the Shechina rests. The Shechina is there. Very, very, very powerful idea. So this is our challenge. This is our challenge. We're supposed to live according to what the Ramban says, and we're supposed to have the Shechina in our homes. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live with Hashem in our homes. And this is the main topic of tonight's Shir, trying to bring Hashem into our lives more. And in our daily lives, and then we'll get to also Bez Hashem when it comes to Shabbos. Okay, so part of the topic of tonight's Shir, bring Hashem into our lives, it sounds like Musar, we have Hashem in our lives. So I'm talking to myself more, as much as I'm talking to you more. I want to tell something that's by way of contrast. I teach in the Tivarye, and I says Chus Rav Nevensal Shlita, he's one of the Gedolei Ador. Avigdor Nevensal is one of the Gedolei Ador. And he learns there two seders a day. And his son now was on staff, and his son you can schmooze with. So Rav Neventzel has beautiful, beautiful svarim, very powerful, potent, real heavy musar. And when you read his svarim, so it's more potent because you know the person behind it. When you're reading a sefer, oh, you know Rav Neventzel saying that. Oh, and you see he lives everything that he writes. So this happened. So Rav Neventzel's son Rav Chizkiya told us the following: that Rav Chizkiya noticed that there's one topic in Avodas Hashem that Rav Neventzel never mentions in his writings. Doesn't mention it. It's amazing that he noticed. That's a separate point, but he noticed. Now, he didn't tell us what it was. You'll see why he didn't tell us what it was. And he asked his father, how come you never talk about this? And his father said, that midah, I don't think I've worked on enough to write about, to give musa to others. So I don't want to write about it in my sefer. So what's the diyuk? It means the 25,000 other midos that he does write about, he feels he's worked on enough to write about them. It's unbelievable. That's such a terrifying, in a positive way. That's an awesome storm. Rav Chizkiya told us that. He said he was shaking when his father told him. He said, Rav Chizkiya said he was like shaking when his father said that. Because Rav Chizkiya knows his father's a big gadol. But to say that, you know, he just answered honestly. Anyway, so that's Rav Neventzel. So tonight's year is, in contrast to that, I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to anyone else, but we have to have Hashem in our lives. That's what the Ramban is telling us. We have to have Hashem in our lives. That's what a Jewish home is. A Jewish home is a Mishkan. That's explicitly what the Ramban is saying. So for example, saying Tehillim, we're up to number 6 on the outline. A person is a mother, a third grader, a sixth grader daughter, and you find out some bad news. You find something bad, some difficult news. Someone got sick or something. So you find out someone got sick, your daughter's there watching, and the first thing you do when you find out someone's sick is you say Tehillim. That is a priceless moment in your life that you're showing your daughter and you're showing yourself that Hashem runs the world, I live with Hashem, and when something challenging happens, my immediate first reaction is to turn to Hashem. That's what a Jew is supposed to do. You know, we talk about things for our children. We'll get to this more later. Rav Orlovich Shlita has a word that he says, which I found out later, he got from Avigdor Miller. Eile toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik. These are the descendants of Noach. Noach was a tzadik. So the Torah says, Eile toldos Noach, Noach. So Avigdor Miller says, and Yevorach Orlovich always says, who's your most important descendant that you have to work on? Yourself. It's a very powerful idea. Eile toldos Noach, Noach. Who's Noach's descendant? Noach himself. The Medrash sort of says it. You look in the Medrash. The Medrash sort of says it, but okay, so they say, whether it's the Medrash or not, they say it's a powerful idea. That's having the Shechina in your life. And then, and don't forget this part, 6 months later, 9 months later, when you find out, Baruch Hashem, your friend got better, and your daughter's there again, you go say Tehillim again to say thank you. People forget that second part. You say thank you. There's a beautiful story that's in different books. Somebody was at the Kotel. He saw somebody davening and crying at the Kotel. And he thought maybe the person needed money, needed this, needed help with a doctor. He went over to talk to him and asked him, what do you need? Maybe I can help you. And he said, no, everything's fine. I was davening for something and Hashem gave it to me and I'm just here to say thank you. It's a very important story. The same way he cried like crazy to ask for help, when it worked and it helped and the person got better, he came back to say thank you. So this is what it means to have Hashem in our lives. Something troubling happens. So of course you call a doctor and you help and you what you can do to help. Yeah, but you say to help him first. Because that's having the Shechina in your life. Maybe when you're married, before you have children, you can have the Shechina in your life then too. You can spend time learning Torah, opening a sefer. Before Hanukkah this year, I received an email, and it's actually a young couple. At the time, they didn't have kids. They had a kid since then. They had their first child, and I happened to have taught both of them. That doesn't always happen, but here it's the boy from the Tiv, and the girl was from Mechala, And actually, my wife made the shidduch, but okay, that's another story. Anyway, so this is a very chashuv, stark couple here. So they sent me an email. I almost started crying when I read the email. They said over Hanukkah, after they light candles, they would sit down and they would read from my Hanukkah Sefer. And the husband was writing me a Dvar Torah, a really beautiful insight he had, which will be in the next edition, Bezud Hashem, a beautiful insight, beautiful insight. And I said, you know, there's a young couple, they don't have kids, and they live in New York. There are 25,000 things they can do at night, you know, to relax, you know, during the Hanukkah holiday season. And they chose to sit and read a Sefer and learn and think about Hashem a little during that time. That's having the Shechina in your home. I put the story in my book, that's why there are no names there, but it's a beautiful story. That's the Shechina. That's how they spend their relaxed time together. What do you do? You're not spending some free time together. They sit and they learn a Sefer and they think about Hashem. Yeah, but it also applies when you're single. It applies when you're single too. I mean, it applies all the time. Person is single and she has a job or she's in school and she got home, she's done with her work, and she's answered all of her WhatsApps. That's a big one. But she's actually answered, or she's done enough. Either she's, you can't see some WhatsApps or whatever, you can hide yourself or whatever. She doesn't have any checks waiting to be answered. She's got, you know, you got the 2,500 checks waiting to be answered. And she's done. And now she has nothing to do. So we live in a world, and it's a really challenging world. People nowadays, there's never nothing to do. When there's nothing to do, you take out your iPhone and you start doing this. You start checking things out. You check other emails, or you check the news, or you just mindlessly go through things. That's what people do nowadays. And it's a problem. So you have nothing to do. You've answered your emails. You've finished your work. Nothing's pressing for tomorrow. Take out a Tehillim. Take out a Sefer. Think about Hashem for 5 minutes. That's a very long time. Think about Hashem for 1 minute. Think about that. We'll get to this in a minute. Think about that your fingers work. Not everyone's fingers work well. Think about that your fingers work. Spend a minute. You have nothing to do. Think about Hashem when you have nothing to do. We'll get to this later, Bezus Hashem. This is a very important idea. We're so busy, we don't have time to think about Hashem. We'll get to that. That's the way life is. But when we're not busy, we should make it a focus. Hey, now, when you're doing this thinking about Hashem, don't put it on your Twitter account. Oh, by the way, I'm thinking about Hashem now. That's a separate discussion. People, everything, nowadays everything's public. People have to know what you're doing. The concept that people should know what I'm doing. That's not a Torah way of living. It's not the Torah way of life. Hashem is hidden. He's very hidden. He's so hidden, not everyone believes in him. Hashem's kelim mistater. We're supposed to copy Hashem. So we're supposed to live a private life. Sometimes you have to be public. Teachers are more public. Okay? Sometimes you have a job. But it's not like I want to be in public because that's what I want to be in public. No. Person goes through, you go through your life, you do what you're supposed to do. And if publicity comes, it comes. If not, but the idea that everyone should know, Hashem knows, and that's way, way more than enough. Do something very good. You say to Hillel, you're by yourself, you say to him, it's so easy to get caught up because we're so busy. I'm busy with grad school, I'm busy with my job, I'm busy with my friends, I have a lot of things I'm busy with, and now I have nothing to do, so I check, spend some time thinking about Hashem, or saying to Hillel, or have a Sefer, when I have nothing to do, you take out a Sefer. I don't know, I'm not so old. When I was in Israel, I was in Israel for my years in Israel back in the 80s, BCEI, before cell phones, email, and internet. It seems like it's a different universe, which it was. But we lived in a modern world. You know, my parents' car had, you know, power windows, you know, everything. We had a normal life and everything like that. But we survived. When I was younger, you come to a bus stop, and you'd often see young men learning and women saying, young women saying to him. You almost never see it nowadays in Israel. Almost never. When people are doing nothing, they're on their iPhones. That's just the way that's the way it is. I don't think it's so good. So we have a chance. We have to bring the Shechina. We're supposed to live with Hashem. That's what the Ramban says. A Jewish home is a home where the Shechina is. And the Shechina means you think about Hashem a little bit. So I gave examples, but if you're married with children or been married or when you're single, very important. Okay. Now, there is a constant, consistent way that a Jew is supposed to have Hashem in their life, in his or her life. And that's with Hakaras HaTov. Constant, overwhelming Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for everything that we have. This is a famous idea. The person who developed it, I don't know the most, but in a way that's most discussed and most used is the Chovos HaLevavos. The Chovos HaLevavos, very, very old Sefer, by the way, talks about this overwhelming sense of gratitude to Hashem. He gives us everything. Think about that. Our eyes work, our fingers, being alive. We're in Baltimore now, so maybe the best, I don't know, one of the best writers in the world, maybe the best writer in the world, is Rav Yechiel Spiro. His books are touched by a story series. They're unbelievable. Each one, you have to read with tissues because you start crying. He should sell it with like a tissue box in the bottom. Anyway, so amazing books. Each one's better than the next. So he has a book on Tefillah, Touched by a Prayer. Fabulous. It's just a fabulous sefer. So he has a comment, which is something that Victor Miller would always say. So this would date, this, you might not know this, this would date me a little bit. There's an old commercial, people probably 40 and above would remember this, theoretically, if you know what a TV was. There's an old commercial about Folgers Coffee. And the jingle was, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. That's a famous, if you're 40 or over, you know that commercial. You know, I've said many times in class, I never saw television. My friends saw it so well and explained it to me, so I know a lot of things from what my friends explained. Okay, you know. I had kids in Shaduchim, so anyway, okay, so I never saw it. If I knew Mishnayos a tenth as well as I knew commercial jingles, I'd know a lot. Okay, anyway, that's the way it is. So he said, it's not true. The best part of waking up is waking up. What a sentence. That's what he writes in his book on Moda Ani. What a way to think of a Moda Ani. Thank Hashem that I'm alive. It's overwhelming. Not everyone wakes up in the morning. What a thing, something to think about. Think about that our bodies work. Not everyone's bodies work, Lalina. You think about it. And it's overwhelming. And then it starts with Birchas HaShachar. A person could spend an hour on Birchas HaShachar. You read his book, and then you think about Birchas HaShachar a little bit. Woo! What it means to see. What it means to see. Rav Dinoer gives a mashal. A person, Lalina, was blind. And then, at the age of 20, 25, he gets his eyesight. Oh, he'd be dancing for joy. What eyesight? Eyesight's incredible. So that's what we're supposed to feel a little bit with Pekei HaChivrim every morning. A little bit, a medium, a lot. It's overwhelming. A person should be thinking about these things all the time. And if a person does this, then they have Hashem in their lives through the constant thanking Hashem that every for a Hakaras HaTov. Everything's Hashgacha that we'll get to in a minute, Bezus Hashem, in a couple of minutes. So tomorrow's the big eclipse and everything, everyone's talking about it. Okay, very exciting. But I'm not an expert in Rav Avigdor Miller, but I think he would say normal day-to-day natural life is incredibly exciting. Everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. H2O water, you can't drink hydrogen and oxygen. You can't drink it, but you put it together, boom, you have water, and it's the greatest thing. And he gives many examples like that. The fact that everything works perfectly, and everything fits together perfectly. And the more they study science, the more we see how complex everything is inside. And Lalenu, not everyone's body works properly. And if your body works properly, an overwhelming sense of thinking about Hashem, thank you, Hashem, for that. Now, obviously, this is the Musar, Rav Avigdor Miller always says, if you really have Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for the fact that your fingers work and your eyes work, well then probably you should use them for good things. So Hashem gave you these things to use for good purposes, obviously. So the next step of Hakaras HaTov is to use all these things for good purposes, and that's what the Chovos HaLevavos writes, and that's a powerful idea. So we should have Hashem in our lives, and we should have the Shechina in our homes, and one way to do this on a constant level is Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. The fact that everything works what we call normally. We don't think about these things. Who thinks about waking up in the morning? Well, you should. Moda ani. Woo, I have another day. I'm alive. It's the greatest gift. A person's eyes work. Things like that. I have here a story. I'm not sure I'll read the whole thing, but there's just... You really should get Rav Spiro's book in general, his books in general, but the one on Tefillah. He has a story here about Asher Yatzer. It's the third source sheet. I'm not going to read the whole thing now. It's a very, very beautiful, powerful story that a doctor wrote about Asher Yatzer and what it means that a person's body works quote-unquote normally. And so this is part one of the shiur, that if you read the Ramban carefully and you read Oz Yosher carefully, it all fits together very nicely. The direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. The ultimate goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was building the base of Mikdash. Why? Because the Geula. Why is that the Geula? Because we're getting back to the original level of having the Shechina in our homes. The Mishkan is the place for the Shechina, and the others had the Shechina in their homes. And we learned from there that a Jewish home is supposed to be a place where the Shechina is, where Hashem is there. And that has many, many, many ramifications. Obviously, this is not the topic of tonight's year, but obviously, what we allow into our homes is also connected with that. A home for the Shechina has to be a home for the Shechina. And things in our homes have the Shechina, and we all know what they are. That's a problem. That doesn't fit with the Ramban. And this is what a Jewish home is supposed to be. And one primary way to have the Shechina in our homes is the constant, overwhelming Hakaras HaTov that a Jew is supposed to have for everything. Things run normally. Even without the amazing eclipse, that's just like the coolest thing. Without that, fingers work, eyes work, that they stay. And it's so complicated. The more people know, it's very complicated. Everything is incredibly complicated. Avigdor Miller has a mushel. The way the bloodstream works, you eat food, and then it gets digested and distributed. And then every piece of the body gets the vitamins it needs, delivered by the blood. So it's like having, this is what he said, it's like having 80,000 trucks delivering things every minute and never getting it wrong. You have 80,000 delivery trucks in your fleet, and every hour they go out, and each one delivers the item exactly to the right spot. And that's a good mushel, how the blood system works. 80,000 deliveries an hour, it's more than 80,000, it's hundreds of thousands, exactly where it's supposed to go. These are all miracles, and that we should be thinking about and thanking Hashem all the time and thinking about. Okay, that's topic number one. And that leads to Shabbos. Shabbos is about Hashem. That's what Shabbos is about. I live in a Mapet Shemesh. The Rav of my shul is Rav Chaim Alinowitz Shlita, very chashev a Rav. And he once gave a drasha where he said as follows. Many people keep Shabbos. They say Kiddush, sing Shalom Aleichem, careful not to do Malacha, we know not to do Borer, all the things, and you have to keep the law of Shabbos. You have to do what you have to do to keep things. But it's possible, he said in his drasha, to keep the laws of Shabbos and miss the point. He said Shabbos is about Hashem. And the mashal he gave was that Hashem is sometimes the elephant in the room. You know, there's a saying, the elephant, let's say there's an elephant over there. So it's sort of sitting over there, and it's like a little weird, but you don't want to talk about it because like it's an elephant sitting in the corner, but it's there, but you don't talk about it. Like, why is it there? I don't know why it's there, but it's sort of sitting over there. So it could be in some homes, he says, Hashem's the elephant in the room. Talk about Hashem. Shabbos is about the fact that Hashem made the world in 6 days and then he rested. That's an overwhelming statement. Avigdor Miller says it's the most overwhelming statement you'll ever hear in your life, because it means that all of us are here only because Hashem made us right now and we're here. So Rav Milinowitz said we should think about Hashem on Shabbos. So in this job of bringing Hashem into our lives, this challenge, a good place to start is Shabbos. And Rav Milinowitz suggested to us in the shul that before Kiddush you should announce, we're going to say Kiddush now because it's Shabbos. And we keep Shabbos because Hashem made the world in 6 days and then he rested. So we announce at the table that Shabbos is about thinking about Hashem. So I try to listen to my shul rabbi. We might get to that later. I got it from my parents. So, and then he said, Hashem not only made the world, our Hashgafa is Hashem keeps on making the world. Yotzer, Hashem is the one who makes the world, continues to make the world now. And Rav Leibowitz suggested to us that we should mention a Hashgacha moment at the Shabbos table before saying Kiddush. That way you're teaching your kids, you're teaching yourself. Hashem made the world, and He's making the world right now. He runs my life. If you think this way, you'll notice these Hashgacha moments in your life. So I do this. I began doing this like 5-6 years ago after He gave this drasha. And every week I notice there's a Hashgacha moment that when you think about it, these things happen all the time. My daughter was in seminary this year, and I was on the phone with her, and she was making lunch, and then you have that little thing on the tuna can the tab to pull it off. When I was little, I used to open tuna cans with the tan opener, anyway, with the sharp edges. Now it's the soft, whatever. Everything's different. So she said, and then it broke. So now she was stuck. Said, "Oh, Abba, the tab broke." I said, "Okay, bring the tuna can home." She doesn't have a can opener with her. 2 weeks later, it was Friday lunchtime, and the Sfarim say you're supposed to eat a light lunch on Friday. You're supposed to eat less on Friday so you enjoy the Shabbos more. So I try to eat a light lunch on Friday. So I'm looking for, I had in mind, I want to have a little tuna fish and a salad. And I go to the pantry, and there you go. There's one can of tuna fish. It's that can. That can. So that's the Hashgacha. The reason why Hashem had her break that tab 2 weeks ago was, I had that can. So that was the Hashgacha moment for the week. I always announce we're making Kiddush now because Hashem made the world 6 days and He rested, so my kids know it already, and then they start saying it with me, and sometimes they make fun of it a little bit. Okay, whatever. We do it every week. Same thing every week. So I had my daughter in the car once, and my victim was on. I was listening to him in the car. And he was talking, he began talking about Shabbos. He mentioned Shabbos. He said, "By the way," he says, "it's important when Shabbos starts to announce why you're keeping Shabbos. Because Hashem made the 6 days and He rested." And my daughter was, I said, "You see, He said it." And so that was the Hashgacha moment for the week, that she happened to be in the car. I didn't plan it. I didn't have to, move the tape there so she would hear it. I mean, I could have done that, but I didn't. Anyway, it happened to be. She heard that. So that was the Hashgacha moment. This year, I sent me an email a couple of years ago about maybe giving a shiur in Baltimore. And then now, and it worked out that I'm here. And this is the timing that it worked out. And she's not here. And she was over here. This is all. This is Hashgacha. This summer, my son was supposed to take a first aid course. And then it got canceled the day before it was starting because there was there weren't enough people signed up. The day it got canceled, he got a phone call from someone who needed a shadow for his son in camp. And he asked my son, he wanted my son. He knew him, he wanted my son to do it. It happened that day. That's Hashgacha. So that was the Hashgacha moment for the week. It's a very, very good idea. Shabbos is about Hashem. Shabbos is a time to actively try to bring Hashem into our lives, into our homes, and you bring Hashem into your life, into your home, by talking about Him. Hashem shouldn't be the elephant in the room over there. We're keeping Shabbos because of Hashem. That's why we're keeping Shabbos. Shabbos is about Hashem. At least on Shabbos, think about Hashem. Well, and this leads to another point. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Source number 9. Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos Tov L'Ados Hashem. That's the Mizmor Shir of Shabbos. Now it's fascinating. That Mizmor Shir of Shabbos never talks about Shabbos. Mizmor Shir of Shabbos never talks about Shabbos. It doesn't. Why is that the Mizmor Shir of Shabbos? So the first Shir, so Rashi gives a pshat. So somebody showed me the Radak gives a pshat. And then later I saw the art school quotes most of it in the art school Siddur. So I Xeroxed it. I noticed Xerox not so clear, but this is the Radak. The Radak says it inside. The Radak says, it's in source number 4. It's on the first, where the error is. Source for the error. Praise of Hashem is necessary, but difficult in the weekdays when people must struggle for a livelihood. On the Sabbath, when Jews are free from the strictures of the week, they can turn their minds and hearts to the perception of Hashem's ways and His praise, which are the topics of this psalm, of this tehillim. What this means is, a Jew's default position in life should be praising Hashem, like we said before. But during the week, we're busy, we're distracted, running around, making a parnasa, a carpool, this and that. We don't, Shabbos, we're not doing carpools, we're not making parnasa, Shabbos, life is calm. Life is calm. There's nothing to do. What is a Jew supposed to do when there's nothing to do? Praise Hashem. It's a beautiful idea. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, Tov L'Hodos L'Hashem. On Shabbos, you're supposed to praise Hashem and thank Hashem, because when you have nothing to do and nothing else is happening, this is a beautiful idea. The default position of a Jew should be praising Hashem. I learned this from Doc like a year ago, so now we always try to sing a Tov Odos Hashem song on Shabbos. We used to sing it only like on Hallel, Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodesh days. But Shabbos is about praise. Why? Because since a Jew is supposed to have overwhelming karas chov to Hashem all the time and praise Hashem and thank Hashem for everything that he has, and during the week when we're busy and running around, we're a little distracted, we can't do it the way we're supposed to. But on Shabbos, when we're not distracted, we go back to the default, then you praise Hashem for everything. So Shabbos is a time to sing praises to Hashem. It's a beautiful ratak. It's a beautiful pshat in the Mizmor Shir. That's the pshat of the Mizmor Shir. Praise Hashem for what you have, because on Shabbos, that's what a Jew is supposed to do, is praise Hashem. Forget about Shabbos. Praise Hashem for everything else, because you have free time on Shabbos. Oh. So it makes sense then, that this idea of bringing Hashem into our lives, Shabbos is the time to really start this program. So one way is to talk about Hashem on Shabbos. When you say Kiddush, if you're not saying Kiddush, so you have to know whether you're in your homes, this will work or not. So if you're not going to announce it, so during Shalom Aleichem, think about this. Think about the fact we're keeping Shabbos now. We're singing Shalom Aleichem now because Hashem made the world in 6 days and then he rested, and we're also resting now like Hashem did. Think about it. Before you think, that's what you're supposed to do. Think about Hashem a little bit on Shabbos. Oh. So we should use Shabbos as a time to really work on, start, and continue this program of having Hashem in our lives. For example, there are other makaros about praising Hashem on Shabbos. Also in source number 4, we add a paragraph into Yotzei Me'oros for Shabbos. We add a paragraph, L'kel Asher Shabbos, and it says, V'yom Hashvim HaShabayel for Yomer, Mizrash L'yom HaShabbos, Tov Odos Hashem, L'fichi, Farei Berchu, L'kel Kol Yitzurov, Shevach Haragdu. When you just read the words, the additional paragraph that we add into the Baruch of Yotzei Me'oros is all about praising Hashem for everything that we have. That's what it's about, because that's what Shabbos is about. Once you see the Radak, this paragraph jumps out at you. Once you know the Radak, this tefillah just jumps out. Ooh, that's what this tefillah is about. It's Shabbos. It's time to praise Hashem, and therefore everyone should praise Hashem as much as they can on Shabbos. So this tefillah fits very, very. This is the tefillah we add in Yotzei Me'oros on Shabbos. This paragraph is the additional paragraph. This tefillah fits perfectly with the Radak. Okay. So, just some ideas we can use on Shabbos to think about Hashem more. So first of all, there's a bowing during Shemoneh Esrei. So this is source number 5. But Victor Miller would speak about bowing all the time. He talks about every tefillah, so we'll at least start with Shabbos. Bowing is a very submissive act. When you bow, you're saying, Hashem, you're in control, you're bowing. So He calls bowing an opportunity. Every time you bow, it's an opportunity to think about Hashem, you govern my life. And he says, and he's right about this, think about something specific. If you think about something specific, it talks to you more. So choose one idea every Shabbos. I'm going to bow this Shabbos thinking about my fingers work. I'm going to bow this Shabbos thinking about that my eyesight works. And you'll see that bowing, that topic from Shabbos will continue in the week, and we'll start slowly building up more and more thinking about Hashem in ordinary daily lives. Let's not waste the opportunity of bowing in general, but especially on Shabbos. He talks about bowing. He says, if there's some good news, come a Zaydi, hold on to come Baruch or Modim. It says, Benny, if you have no good news at all, the best good news is when there's no news at all. You're well, Baruch Hashem. You have all your limbs intact. You're not totally handicapped, etc., etc. Don't bow for nothing. That's a wasted opportunity. It's a diamond when you bow down for a good reason. So I think that Again, he talks about every Shemoneh Esrei. So we should start small and make Shabbos. Every Shabbos, choose one thing. This will be my thing that I'm vowing for this week. Thinking about something specific. That's what Shabbos is about. Thinking about Hashem, praising Hashem all the time. But every little thing. The eclipse is amazing, but fingers are amazing too. Eyes are amazing too. Hearing is incredible too. Oh. That's one idea. I would suggest choose a sefer that connects you with Hashem on Shabbos. I would suggest take Rav Spiro's sefer on Tefillah. That's a good sefer. It's a very good. It's at volume 1. I'm not sure, is there volume 2 on Tefillah yet? I didn't see it in the stores. I don't know if you know him. Tell him to write volume 2. I want volume 2. I'm telling you, his books are amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Torah and the stories and the blending. It's a tremendous talent. Or some other sefer. Some other sefer that connects you to Hashem. There's a sefarim. For me, Rabbi Demiller, I try to learn Rabbi Demiller every Shabbos now, a few minutes, because he hits you between the eyes about Hashem. That's what he does all the time. And something, Shabbos should be a time where a Jew focuses on Hashem. That's what the Radak says. That's what Amaluna would say. That focuses on Hashem more than normal. So do something specific. Third idea, every Shabbos, a tefillah or an activity that we do on Shabbos, and make it a connection with Hashem. If you're Zohar to light candles, candle lighting should be that time. That's like the most precious moment of the week. If you're married and you light candles, the most precious moment of the week, you're talking to Hashem, it's your private, no one can take it away from you. That's your private time. Make it real. And say the tefillahs. Or if there's a tefillah that talks to you, there's one particular part of Nishmas that talks to me, so there's a song linked up to it. So when I daven Nishmas, I try to sing that song now, and it means a lot to me. I try to sing that piece of Nishmas now, and I look forward to it. Every Shabbos, these two sentences of Nishmas is a special connection. That's something that you do. Or you take a walk and think about the beauty of the world. Every Shabbos, it's a great idea. The sky. The sky is a beautiful blue most of the time. Whew. Hashem's amazing. Hashem could have made the sky a really dull gray, like in England all the time. And the sky normally is a beautiful blue. It's wonderful. Think about how beautiful the sky is. Fruits are all these different colors. Hashem could have made our food like these little tablets. Have one vitamin tablet in the morning, one vitamin tablet for lunch, one vitamin tablet for dinner, and that's it. No. He made everything taste good and look good and a different texture. His bananas have a certain texture and oranges, everything has a different texture and all. The Sfarim say, that's the pshat. The Sfarim say, b'chein. Chein means with grace. Hashem doesn't just give us food and sustain us. He does it with a grace and makes it pleasant for everyone. So take a walk and think about the beauty of the world on Shabbos. It's a great idea. I have a friend who is like a science guy. And he began a custom many years ago. It's a great idea if you can do this. He takes a strange animal or a strange plant and prepares a little thing. And every week at Shalosh Shittos, says over this, talks about this strange animal or plant. Wow, it's amazing what Hashem makes in the world. All these different things. And I'm telling you, half the kids in the neighborhood want to go to his house for Shalosh Shittos. My kids always go, I want to go to his house. Because it's really fun and exciting. And he's talking about Hashem. Look at all these different animals that Hashem made. This one and this one has this one and this one has that one. It's a beautiful idea. We should do things and we should make a plan. What am I going to do to bring Hashem into my life more all the time, but especially on Shabbos? Shabbos is about Hashem. That's what Shabbos is about. Don't waste the opportunity. Think about Hashem on Shabbos. Everything on Shabbos is... You look at the challah with the two challahs. Oh, that's the mun. And the top and the bottom, the challah cover, the mun came down, gift wrapped. Oh, Hashem gave us the mun in the midbar. Shabbos is about Hashem. That's what Rav Malinowitz emphasized. And we should use it for that opportunity as well. So this is the second part of the shir, that the challenge of life is to have Hashem in our lives more. That's a Jewish home is supposed to be, the Shechina. And Shabbos is that time where there should be a special focus on having Hashem in our lives. And number 11, I call it Shabbos tables. And with this we'll close, just a few minutes. We'll end in 5 minutes. So it goes like this. Obviously, if your Shabbos table is full of Lashon Hara, that's not a place where Hashem's going to be hanging out and over there. And we have to really work on, this is a pet peeve of mine, so a few minutes to talk about it. It's a way to praise my parents a little bit. They should live and be well. So Shabbos tables are where children get to see their parents interact for an hour and a half, relaxed away. It's like a video every week, two or three times a week. Most families lunch, don't eat together. Breakfast is a crazy rush. Dinner, not always. People running in and out. Want to practice and this and that. People running in and out. So it's an unfortunate thing in some homes that people think, yeah, the Shabbos table, rank on the shul rabbi, rank on the children's teachers. It's a terrible thing. A, it's completely, totally, 1,000% usur, period. It just is. It's not toelus to rank on the rabbi in front of your kids. It's just not toelus. It's not. Rank on their teachers. It's not toelus. Toelus could be, you have a private talk with your child about school and what goes on in school and discuss and hear and then maybe talk to another parent about it, maybe talk to the parent. There is a way. But the Shabbos table is not toelus. It's just not. It's totally usur. And then we're training our children to know, yeah, when we have relaxed time, we speak Lashon Hara. That's where the Shechina is going to be when you're speaking Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table. It's a terrible thing. The most famous Baal Tshuva in the world, I think, at least in Israel, is Uri Zohar, Rabbi Uri Zohar Shlita. Uri Zohar was originally not religious. He had a TV show. There was preachers on the TV show, and he made movies. His movies, they weren't like Ushpizin. Whatever they weren't Ushpizin, his movies. And he was a famous guy. He was the equivalent in America, the equivalent of Seinfeld. That's the equivalent. I don't know who Seinfeld is, theoretically, but the equivalent of Seinfeld. That's who he was. And then he puts a kippah on TV, puts on sittis, covers up the preachers, and then eventually he stopped his TV show. It's amazing. And now he's a Baal Tshuva. He writes books. He gives speeches. He wrote a book called We Were Robbed. It's a very important book. It's about being raised as a chiloni in Israel. And so people asked him, how did you get religious? What happened to you? He told the following story. He was in his 40s. He was rich, famous. He felt his life was empty. And he had questions. He wanted more. So he asked around and he heard that Rav Zilberman Zatzal, you know the Zilberman Cheder? So the one running it now is the son. His father, he died a few years ago. He was well-read. He knew a lot. He's someone you can ask your questions. So he called him on the phone. I want to meet you. I have questions. And Rav Zilberman said, fine, I'll answer your questions, but first spend Shabbos in my home without Chilul Shabbos. So he went to a nice hotel and stayed there, Uri Zohar. He walked over, and he spent Shabbos in the Zilberman's home. And his miros were nice. The food was good. There were Divrei Torah. The kids seemed to listen to the parents. They helped out. There was respect at the table. And Uri Zohar was thinking to himself, my kids think I'm a dinosaur. They don't give me the time of day. And he was overwhelmed. This is what he writes in his books. He was overwhelmed by the beauty of the Zilberman Shabbos. And after Havdalah, Uri Zohar said to Rav Zilberman, I have no more questions. I want to be religious. Teach me how to be religious. That's what happened. That's an amazing story. And that's a high level. Someone's in the Shabbos in your house and wants to become religious overnight. It's amazing. I've mentioned many times of Orlik Shlita says, Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. A compass points to the North Pole. Who goes to the North Pole? No one. No one goes to the North Pole. I mean, National Geographic goes every 20 years and sends back pictures. No one goes to the North Pole. A compass points. It tells you the right direction. This is a beautiful mushel. Some people are afraid to read Gedolim books because, oh, it's not my level. It's not your level. But it's the compass. It shows you the direction to go in. It's not your level right now. So that's the compass for us. That person at our Shabbos table, ooh, this is a nice place. It's a pleasant place. It's a religious home. It's a wonderful home to be in. So to be at the level where a person becomes religious overnight, but to in that direction. And obviously, a Shabbos table with Lashon Hara and speaking about the shul rabbi, speaking about the cheat kids teachers in a negative way, that's not in the direction of a Zilberman. It's terrible. So I'm fortunate that I'm from Silver Spring. I told you before this year, for me, Baltimore was the place where I wasn't from. Where are you from? Oh, you know someone in Baltimore? No, that's like an hour away. Silver Spring is its own little place over there. It's not Baltimore, an hour away. And so my parents live in Buell, so my brothers and sister, Baruch Hashem, we're all religious, and our grandchildren are doing well religiously. It's a big schus that my parents have. And some of my parents are older now, and they have friends, and not all their friends are like that. So I thought about this a lot, and I really think that part of the reason is my parents have tremendous respect for Rabbanim, and in all the years I was at my parents' Shabbos table, I never heard them once criticize the two main Rabbanim in our neighborhood, Rabbi Einemar and Yebud Ochai, and Rabbi Hyatt. Rabbi Hyatt, I think a lot of his kids live in Baltimore. Rabbi David Hyatt, a lot of his kids live in Baltimore. And so we were brainwashed by my parents to respect the other Rabbanim. So we went to high school, we listened to what they had to say. My parents think we listened a little too much, but whatever. We listened to what they had to say, Baruch Hashem. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I wrote in one of my books, my mother said it's her favorite line. I said, in all the years, my parents never criticized the Rabbanim. The silence was deafening, and we listened. You speak Lashon Hara at the Shabbos table, it pushes the Shechina away. So you want to have the Shechina in your house. Think about Hashem on Shabbos, and you talk Lashon Hara. It's terrible. It's the opposite. So the Shabbos table, should think about Hashem a little bit, think about Hashem a lot, and it should be a, and you have to plan for it. Either Divrei Torah, or stories, or positive discussions about things, and then we Bezus Hashem, we can have the Shechina in our homes on Shabbos, and through that Bezus Hashem have the Shechina in our homes more, all the time, during the week as well, which is what the goal of a Jewish home is really supposed to be. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.